report released by the group Wisconsin Green Fire, Voices for Conservation, says that Wisconsin isn't doing enough to protect its environment and natural resources. The report, called Imbalance of Power, looks at changes in state law and rulemaking authority and how they changed Wisconsin's environmental protection policies. In particular, the report looks at water in the state, including drinking water, nitrate contamination, and shoreline degradation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin's doing enough to protect water quality? Have you seen changes over the years or the decades, if you've been watching for a while, in the way environmental protection works in the state? Are these important issues, your local water quality, when you go to cast a ballot? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Fred Clark is Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire, Voices for Conservation, co-author of the report Imbalance of Power, How Wisconsin is Failing Citizens in Conserving Natural Resources and Protecting Our Environment. Fred, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you all today.
I want to start off in the past a little bit. You write in the report that Wisconsin at one point had a reputation for strong environmental protections, kind of watched around the country, and bipartisan support for those protections. Can you take us back to that time?
Well, it's true. I think for at least most of the second half of the 20th century and the early part of the 21st century, Wisconsin has been viewed as a conservation and environmental leader. And one really good example of that leadership was covered by WPR and news stories in the last 2 days around the 50th anniversary of the Clean Water Act. And that was an example of where just profound impacts of pollution from primarily industrial processes had made many of our water bodies in the state unusable and unsafe. And it was an example of where state government, the business community, and the environmental community came together to develop solutions that not only address those profound problems, but in the end were actually good for business and good for the quality of life in Wisconsin communities. That's an example of our ability to solve big problems, and our concern is that we've lost that ability today.
Now, as we talk on the show and you talk in your report about things like PFAS in water, nitrates in water, problems with shoreline protections, these are in the news now. And you point in this report toward a turning point in the way Wisconsin laws and regulation rules happen. And this can get down in the weeds, but can you look at some of the key changes and how they affect our water protections?
Sure. And what we wanted to do in this report was to tie together some of the foundational reasons that we've seen, honestly, failure after failure in addressing some of these important issues like PFAS and like nitrates. And so what we point to in the report are changes in law that occurred in 2011 and 2017, primarily, that changed the way state government agencies are able to develop what are called administrative rules. And administrative rules are simply the set of rules that codify the work of executive branch agencies. They're really, you can think of them as the DNA of our state government. We have rules that cover everything from highway construction to food safety to what children learn in schools. And we have rules around natural resources and the environment. That's what allows state agencies the authority to do their job and implement programs. And we've made the rule development process almost completely non-functional and unworkable today. And the result is we're unable to deal with these emerging problems that badly need solutions.
Can you talk about how those changes, especially as they apply to the DNR, affect, say, an emerging water quality problem like, say, PFAS?
Well, sure. So, the rule process really requires state agencies to work together with stakeholders, with regulated entities, and with affected parties to develop new guidance around these emerging issues. And in the case of PFAS, unfortunately, the Department of Natural Resources, after a significant amount of work, after almost 3 years of effort, brought forward three different rule revisions to the Natural Resources Board earlier this summer. One of the most important one of those was setting standards for PFAS in groundwater, which affects somewhere over a huge number, almost a quarter of Wisconsin citizens who get their drinking water from private wells, would have seen for the first time a standard around PFAS in their water that would allow state government to take action and help protect those people. And unfortunately, our Natural Resources Board voted down that rule package. And the way the laws that govern rural development work now, that starts the clock over again, such that it will take an additional almost 3 years of effort before the state can even come forward with a new rule package. And that's just simply unacceptable. Unfortunately, we're making state government impossible to manage as a result of these changes that, from our point of view, are both bad for business and they're bad for Wisconsin citizens.
Another key step involved a lot of these rules is going to a key legislative committee on rules. How has that impacted efforts to protect water quality?
Right. So we highlight in our report are the number of changes that have been made in that 10-year period, beginning in 2011, that have added additional hurdles to the rule development process. And we don't argue that there's an important role for the legislature to approve and provide a check and a balance with the executive branch in rural development. But at this point, the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, which is a legislative body that most members of the public have never heard of, has a tremendous amount of authority to completely block, indefinitely block the implementation of a rule, or to send a rule back to an agency for revision. But what we're not seeing there is a transparent process that brings the public and public input and public interest into those decisions. What it also does is bring the requirement for an economic analysis that is structured in a way that almost makes it guaranteed that some rules will not be able to pass if the cost of implementing that rule is deemed to exceed a $10 million threshold. And what's not addressed at all in that requirement is any analysis of the benefits of having a rule that might protect water quality, the health benefits, the environmental benefits, the economic benefits to property owners, for example, who are absorbing substantial costs right now because of contaminated water. So there's a real imbalance in the structure and how rules are evaluated and developed, and we make recommendations for how to restore that balance.
Talking to Fred Clark from the group Wisconsin's Green Fire, looking at a new report on changes in environmental rulemaking laws in the state that the group says have had an impact on our water quality in Wisconsin. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your local experience with water at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you see as the health impact of these changes, Fred? In the report, you highlight some people, especially in rural communities who rely on well water, who are affected by these changes.
Sure. Well, we profiled a couple of examples of citizens who are being affected by our inability as a state to address these problems. And so, you know, with the example of PFAS contamination, and as many of your viewers know, PFAS are these persistent, long-lived environmental chemicals that come from a variety of sources. The state of Wisconsin has now detected PFAS contamination in over 90 different locations in Wisconsin. And some of the most profoundly affected areas are around places where firefighting foam has been used or tested. So in the town of Peshtigo, for example, there's a very high density of groundwater contamination as a result of PFAS manufacturing and testing. And we, as a result of the Natural Resources Board failure to adopt a rule, we still do not have a standard for groundwater. But anecdotally, many of these communities are too small to support a robust epidemiological study that would make a positive determination about health impacts. But if you talk to physicians who are treating individual patients, the rate of cancers, thyroid problems, and other health impacts that are known to be associated with these type of contaminants are much higher than practitioners normally see. So there's plenty of anecdotal evidence that health effects are already being experienced, and we simply are failing to address that crisis.
Talking to Fred Clark, executive director of the group Wisconsin's Green Fire, about a new report showing the impact of changing state policies on environmental issues within the state, especially when it comes to water. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about water quality here in the state? Do you think it's too difficult to get new rules and regulations passed? Or do you think we are in the right place now when it comes to how we protect water quality without bureaucratic overreach, as supporters of some of these changes argued? Do you have a concern in your own community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Fred Clark, executive director of Wisconsin's Green Fire, about a report released by the group that looks at changes in environmental laws and rules in the state and how they affect water quality issues. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions, your local story at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Phyllis is with us in the town of Dunn. Phyllis, hi.
Hi. I just want two things. I want to emphasize that the Republicans are the ones who are stopping all these rules that would protect people from poisons like PFAS through their majority in the state legislature. And at the top of the Republican ticket in Wisconsin is Tim Michaels, and he's running for governor against Tony Evers. And he co-owns a company, Michaels Corp., that has been very dangerous to our water, very damaging. And now he's poised to endanger the whole Great Lakes, because his company has a letter of intent from Enbridge, the Canadian oil pipeline company, to build the proposed expansion of their Line 5. And it would go through the very water-rich area in Ashland and Iron counties, and would, if when it ruptures there, and they always do rupture sooner or later, it could pollute the Kakagan sloughs, it could ruin the Copper Falls State Park, and go actually into Lake Superior, and who knows how far it would spread there, perhaps.
Phyllis, I gotcha. Thanks for calling in. Fred, I don't know if you want to make partisan suggestions here, but your thoughts on what Phyllis had to say.
Well, several comments here from Phyllis. I'll make one point, though. Politics is ultimately local. And what we have seen in a good way is that when some of these critical issues come home to local legislative districts, whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, you are forced to pay attention when the citizens in your town are being affected. And so we just, you know, one of our recommendations in this report is to encourage everyone to reach out to their local elected officials or candidates for office, hold them to account around the importance of addressing these issues, and don't accept party affiliation as a yes or no. We need legislators of both parties to be part of a solution.
Phyllis, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to callers, Fred, one of the arguments at the times for these changes was that a sense that maybe the DNR and other state agencies had been given too much authority. They were going beyond the intent of legislation, slowing down business development in some communities. What do you make of that argument?
Well, that's always the tension, and it can be a healthy tension between the role of government and the role of the private sector and, you know, individual freedoms. Our point of view on this is that if we look back to a period when government was actually effective, it was effective because most of the important issues that were dealt with through regulation or other government programs came from a negotiated process that involved industry, it involved businesses, it involved stakeholders and the regulated community. We've simply lost the willingness for parties to come to the table and envision solutions to these problems. But we don't buy the argument that unelected bureaucrats in government shouldn't be given the responsibility of addressing some of these issues. What we're talking about here are career professionals who have deep expertise in water quality and environmental issues of all sorts, who are, you know, dedicating their careers to public service. We need to rely on them for their expertise the same way we rely on a doctor to, you know, operate on your gallbladder, or a experienced pilot to fly your plane. So we want to reopen that dialogue between government and the business community that unfortunately has been closed off.
It's Let's go back to our callers now. Jimmy is with us in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Hey, the last call, I kind of stole my thunder on the danger of having combined Republican control over the state government. But I guess my other comment was normally the legislature pass laws that are fairly general in nature, I suppose, depending on the subject, and then it's normally tasked the executive branch with doing new rules and regulations. Would there be some kind of a crossover on a constitutional aspect of it where the legislature is actually taking constitutional authority over the executive? And I'll take my comments off the air.
Jimmy, thanks for the call. Interesting question. Fred?
Well, I think the caller raises an important question. And for example, with regard to, the appointment of members to public bodies by the executive, by the governor, and the legislature's failure to confirm or even hear those appointments, we believe there is a real constitutional issue there. So that is something to watch. But another point I would make that the caller raised is that that is the normal process, is that laws passed by the legislature provide general guidance and direction and authority, and state agencies or federal agencies are expected to develop rules and programs informed by those laws, but that need to have a higher level of detail. And what often happens today, because we have a broken rule process, is that instead of the details that are needed to implement a program being developed in rules, they're often developed in statutes that are passed by the legislature. And the problem with that is that most legislators simply don't have the knowledge to write those laws themselves. So who writes them? Lobbyists. And so that process is actually far less democratic and transparent the way it's working today than it could be if we had a working rules process.
Thanks for the call. Talking to Fred Clark from the group Green Fire about environmental laws, regulations, and rules in Wisconsin. Back to your calls with Mike in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi, Fred. So I've heard that the foams that contain the PFAS, the reason why they added that ingredient was to increase the efficacy of the firefighting foam. But I haven't been able to find anywhere that gives me a percentage of improvement. And I often wonder the rarity of these fires that we may have. I just drove past Dane County Airport. The rarity of these fires, was this worth all of the contamination that's now occurred to our drinking well water for this, what might be a slight improvement in the efficiency?
Mike, thanks for the call. Fred, costs and benefits of PFAS, especially in the firefighting foam.
Well, really important question. And I'll just note that when the AFF firefighting foam was first developed, it was seen as almost a miracle product. And, you know, there are fire scenarios, especially electrical fires or petroleum-based fires, for which some kind of foam is almost essential for effective suppression. And so before the risk of PFAS in the environment was understood, there was widespread application and testing of these firefighting foam products. And more foam is used in testing than and training than it actually was used in real applications. That's beginning to change now, but we have a legacy, unfortunately, of a long period of widespread use that for which these chemicals have found their way into the environment. And there is no easy remediation.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that call, Mike. Fred, before we run out of time, I want to get into one more aspect of your report. This one about changing the laws, I think, not the rules. When it comes to local government's ability to add environmental restrictions, regulations on water beyond what the state already has. Can you talk about how that works and the impact it has?
Sure. We address the issue of local control and local autonomy in this paper. That used to be our standard. And so we profiled the example of shoreline zoning. It's what property owners along rivers or lakes are able to do and required to do to sort of protect the environment along that critical lakeshore fringe. And it used to be the case that the state laws and state rules set minimum standards, with the expectation that local units of government, counties or cities or villages, had the ability to set standards that would be higher. We have flipped 180 degrees around that issue, in that today the minimum, what were originally minimal state standards, are now established as maximum standards, and communities are not allowed to exceed them in any requirement, regardless of whatever unique circumstances might occur. So this has been a gift to people who want to see unregulated development, but it has really hurt the ability of local governments and local communities to sort of design their own future. And we point out examples of similar changes around CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, and around frac sand mines and other land uses that tend to be some of the more controversial ones local communities see. That is really moving us backwards in our assessment.
Briefly, Fred, just in our last half a minute, what are you hoping people do with this new report?
So we make a number of recommendations in the report. The most important thing for people to do is to be involved, to follow these issues at the level of the legislature and the Natural Resources Board, to become involved in organizations that represent their interests so that your voice can be magnified, whether you're a business owner or an outdoors person. There are organizations that will help represent your interests that you should support. We also make a number of specific legislative recommendations that we believe would help restore the balance between the ability for state executive branch agencies to function and for the legislature to still maintain a check and a balance, but subject to a transparent process that invites public input.
Fred, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Fred Clark, Executive Director of Wisconsin's Green Fire, talking about a new report from the organization, Imbalance of Power, on water quality rules and regulations in the state.